is the awful truth about hell, ladies and gentlemen. If you end up in hell, after you have spent 10 billion trillion years in that awful place, you will not have reduced by 1 second the time you have left to spend there.
Welcome to Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress. And thanks for taking the time to listen to the program today. Truthfully, the subject of hell makes people feel a little uncomfortable. And so to pass it off, most believe that it actually exists and that it's only for the really bad people, you know, murderers, rapists. But Jesus didn't define the lines like that. In fact, he only had one line. So as much as there are those who would rather believe that there is no hell or that it's not for them, Jesus had very specific things to say about this eternal place called hell, as we'll hear about today. This series on end times prophecy has been very revealing and clarifying, just like the conclusion of this message. It's called The Truth About Eternity.
Some people say, well, these words perish and destroy, they mean instantaneous destruction. So maybe hell isn't that bad after all. Maybe it means you just cease to exist. But I want you to think about those words perish and destroy. They don't always mean instantaneous destruction. For example, if you said the mountaineers perished from starvation when they got lost, does that mean they dropped dead after missing their first meal? No, it wasn't instantaneous. Starvation can take a long time, days, perhaps weeks. What I'm saying to you is perish and destroy don't always mean instantaneous destruction. They can mean a destruction that goes over a long period of time. And in this case, the Bible teaches that period of time is eternity. Turn over, hold your place here, and turn over to Revelation 19, verse 20, where I can show you with absolute certainty that unbelievers do not simply perish when they land in the lake of fire. Revelation 19, 20, the setting for this, remember, is the second coming of Christ, and notice what he does to the beast, that is the Antichrist and the false prophet. And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet who performed the signs in his presence by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. Now, turn over to chapter 20, verse 10. It's 1,000 years later, after the millennium, after the final rebellion against God. And what does God do? And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are also. Now, the beast and false prophet were thrown in there 1,000 years ahead of time. But when it's Satan's turn to be thrown into the lake of fire, John says the beast and the false prophet are still alive. After 1,000 years of suffering, they are still there. And they will be tormented, verse 10 says, day and night forever and ever. Verse 15 says, for the unsaved, if any man's name was not found written in the book of life, he was also cast into the lake of fire to be tormented day and night forever and ever. You've heard me say before that word translated forever and ever is the Greek word aionos. And interestingly, it is the very same word, the word that refers to the eternality of hell, that is used to describe the eternality of heaven as well. In Revelation 22, verse 5, John says, and there shall no longer be any night, and they shall not have need of the light of the day or the light of the sun, because the Lord God shall illumine them, and they shall reign forever and ever. Do you see it? Same word that describes the eternality of hell is used to describe the eternality of heaven. I'll never forget hearing Dr. Criswell say years ago, and it was such a perceptive comment. He said, if you reduce by any amount, even 1 second, the time an unbeliever spends in hell, you have to subtract that same amount from the time that a believer spends in heaven, because the same word describes both. Fact is, the punishment of hell is forever. Here is the awful truth about hell, ladies and gentlemen. If you end up there, if you end up in hell, after you have spent 10 billion trillion years in that awful place, you will not have reduced by 1 second the time you have left to spend there. Hell is a place of eternal suffering. Number three, hell is filled with indescribable loneliness. Matthew 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "But the sons of the kingdom shall be cast into the outer darkness. And in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Have you ever heard anybody say before, "Oh, I don't care about going to hell. That's where all my friends are going to be. And we'll just go there and party day and night forever. We'll have a great time because I'll be with my friends." Well, the fact is, you may be there with your friends. They may be there with you, but you won't know it. You won't be aware of it, because hell is a place of darkness, which means it is a place of indescribable loneliness. I'll never forget years ago, an article I read about hell. It was entitled, "Hell, That Hideous Doctrine." And in the article, the writer imagined, using the scripture, what hell would be like from the point of view of somebody who awakens and finds himself in hell. How would he feel? What would he do? Listen to this description. "After a roar of physical pain blast him," that is the new occupant of hell, "he spends his first moments wailing and gnashing his teeth. But after a season, he grows accustomed to the pain. Not that it's become tolerable, but that his capacity for it has enlarged to comprehend it without being consumed by it. Though he hurts, he is now able to think. And he instinctively looks about him. But as he looks, he only sees blackness. In his past life, he learned that if he looked long enough, a glow of light somewhere would yield definition to his surroundings. So he blinks and he strains to focus his eyes, but his efforts only yield blackness. He turns and strains his eyes in another direction. He waits. He sees nothing but unyielding black ink. It clings to him, smothering and oppressing him. Realizing that the darkness is not going to give way, he nervously begins to feel for something solid to get his bearings. He reaches for walls or rocks or trees or chairs. He stretches his legs to feel the ground, but he touches nothing. He hangs there alone in his pain, unable to touch a solid object or see a solitary thing. He begins to weep. His sobs choke through the darkness. They become weak and then lost in hell's roar." Hell is a place of indescribable loneliness. You say, how could God ever do something so awful to people? Number four, Jesus said hell is a deserved judgment. It's a deserved judgment. Notice how after the rich man begs for relief from the agony of hell, notice how Abraham responds to his request. Luke 16, verse 25, "But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your life you received your good things and likewise Lazarus bad things, but now he is being comforted there and you're in agony.'" Verse 27, "And the rich man said, 'Then I beg you, Abraham, that you might send Lazarus to my father's house. For I have five brothers that he may warn them lest they should come to this place of torment.'" Isn't that interesting? Even an unbeliever in hell sensing in the reality of hell desires that his lost brothers be saved. "Father Abraham, please send someone to go and warn my unbelieving brothers." Verse 29, "Abraham said, 'They have Moses and the prophets.'" That is, they have the scripture. "Let them hear them." "But the rich man said, 'Oh no, Father Abraham, but if somebody goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' But Abraham said, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if somebody rises from the dead.'" And of course, that was prophetic. When Jesus rose from the dead, people still refused to believe in him. What Abraham was saying to the rich man was this. He said, "You had many opportunities in your life. Remember all of the good things that God brought into your life. Those good things should have pointed you to God and into repentance, but you gave up those opportunities. You didn't respond." And then when he said, "Well, at least remember my brother, send somebody from the dead, Lazarus, to warn them." He said, "You have an opportunity too through scripture. Scripture warns them. If they don't believe, they won't believe if somebody comes from the dead." What this passage is teaching us is there is nobody who is in hell because of God's choice. People are in hell because of their own choice. And that is the choice to reject the knowledge, the sufficient knowledge that comes from God's word. They have Moses and the prophets. We have even more. We have even the revelation of the New Testament. And that means no man has an excuse. Hell is a deserved judgment. People choose to reject the knowledge of God's word and spend eternity separated from him. I think about Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. You know, we get the idea, well, isn't that kind of an overreaction on God's part to send people to a horrible place like this simply because they haven't believed the right things about Jesus? But as Hebrews 10, 29 says, neglecting the gospel or rejecting the gospel is not some harmless secondary sin. I want you to notice how the writer describes what you are doing when you reject or simply neglect receiving God's offer of salvation. He writes, how much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace?
You're listening to Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress. And we'll get back to the program in just a minute. But first, I've got something exciting that I'd like to share with you. Dr. Jeffress has just come out with a brand new book on end time prophecy called Perfect Ending, Why Your Eternal Future Matters Today. He spent countless hours and years of research to condense this study into a very revealing yet understandable book about the rapture, the great tribulation, the millennium, and what God has to say about heaven and hell. This topic can certainly be a little bit overwhelming, but Dr. Jeffress has captured these prophetic subjects and put them into a clear, understandable new book. So call right now with your generous gift to 866-999-2965 or online at ptv.org, 866-999-2965 or ptv.org. And when you call, be sure to ask about becoming a Pathway partner and all the benefits you'll get just by signing up with your monthly commitment to this ministry. The number again, 866-999-2965, or you can go online to ptv.org. That's 866-999-2965 or ptv.org. I'll mention that along with some more important info a bit later, but right now, here's Dr. Jeffress with the rest of today's program.
Will you notice the three things somebody is doing when he rejects or neglects the gospel? First of all, he is guilty of trampling the Son of God. That word trample, katapateo in Greek, it is a word that was used to describe what would happen when salt had become worthless and had been thrown out because it no longer had any bite to it. It was thrown out to be what? Trampled underfoot by men. That's the same word. In other words, you'd see salt out there, you wouldn't walk around it. You figured if it was on the ground, it was worthless. And what the writer is saying is, when you reject or neglect Jesus Christ, you are saying the death Jesus Christ died for me is worthless. It is meaningless. It's not worth my time to give attention to. That's a pretty serious sin. But that's not even the most serious thing we do when we reject or neglect the gospel. Secondly, the person who rejects or neglects the gospel has regarded as unclean, verse 29, the blood of Jesus, the blood of the covenant. That word unclean is a word in Greek that was used to describe the mangy dogs that used to roam the streets of Jerusalem. When you reject or just neglect the gospel offer of salvation, you know what you're saying? You're saying the blood of Jesus Christ is as dirty, as filthy as that of a mangy mongrel dog. Do you think God is going to let you get away with that? Number three, not only has he trampled underfoot the Son of God or regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant, number three, he has insulted the Spirit of grace. When you reject or just neglect, don't have time for the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are insulting the Holy Spirit of God, who is continually moving and urging you to accept the gospel. Let me illustrate that for you. Let's say, guys, one Saturday morning, you're looking out your window, and you see your neighbor's yard across the street is flooding with water. You realize a water hose has been left on. So trying to spare him an inflated water bill, you want a warning. So you send your 10-year-old son over there to warn him. So your 10-year-old son goes across the street and knocks on the door, and neighbor opens the door, looks at your 10-year-old son, and your son says, "Mister," the neighbor cuts him off, "you snotty-nosed little kid, get off my property." So your son comes back and reports to you what the neighbor said. Still, you feel compassion and concern. Maybe he didn't know what was going on. So this time you send your wife over there. You send your wife over to warn the neighbor. She knocks on the front door. He opens the door, sees her, calls her every vile and profane name in the book you can imagine. She breaks down in tears and comes back and reports to you how your neighbor has responded. How likely are you to send somebody else or go yourself? And yet the Bible says God kept coming back and back and back again. He sent the prophets. They beheaded the prophets. He sent his own son, Jesus. The world delivered him back to God on the end of a bloody Roman spear. Wouldn't that be enough to cause God to give up? But it wasn't. The Holy Spirit of God is convicting some of you right now, speaking to you about your need to come to Christ, to receive not just a way, but the only way to be saved. And when you keep saying no, 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 you are insulting the Spirit of God. To reject, to neglect the gospel is not a harmless sin. Everyone who ends up in hell is there by his own choice. Hell is a deserved judgment. Number five, and most disturbing, hell is a forever destination. Hell is a forever destination. You know, there are some people who want to suggest that, okay, I believe hell's a real location. I even believe it's a horrible place, but it's only temporary. Because eventually, even the residents of hell will be convicted of their sin and they will have a second chance to accept in Christ. There are Christian pastors out there. I'm not sure they're really Christians, but they say they're Christians who are teaching that idea of the second chance, that in hell, people will have an opportunity to repent and eventually everybody will end up in heaven. Does God allow for that possibility? Look again at Luke 16, verse 26. The rich man begged Abraham to bring relief to him. And notice in verse 26 what Abraham said. Besides all of this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed in order that those who wish to come over from here to you may not be able, and that none of you may cross over from there to us. Once you die, your eternal destination is just that. Eternal. You know, today's technology allows us to take most of our pictures digitally. Most of you have digital cameras or cell phone cameras, so you can take those selfies, you know, and that's what we like to do. We want to see our pictures instantaneous. But there are a few diehard photography buffs who don't use digital cameras. They still do it the old-fashioned way with film. Some of you don't even know what film is, but believe me, there was such a thing called film that you used to put in a camera. You'd take a picture, and then you would send it off somewhere to be developed. And if you know anything about the developing process, you know that what they do is they take that exposed film and they put it in a chemical solution. And while it's in the chemical solution, that image forms and it's altered and it changes and it improves. But there is a place in the developing process when that film is taken and it's put in what is called a stop bath. And that chemical in the stop bath stops. It fixes the film. And from that point on, its image cannot be altered. Ladies and gentlemen, death is the stop bath for every human being. Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed unto every man once to die and then the judgment. Before you die, you have all kind of opportunities to change, to make different choices. But once you die, all opportunities for change are over. Some people say, well, that's just unfair. That God wouldn't give people a second chance. Randy Alcorn writes, fairness doesn't demand that God give people a second chance after death, since he gives us thousands of chances before death. Heaven is a forever destination. Listen once again from the perspective of a new occupant in hell. As time passes, he begins to think and to do what the rich man did. His first thoughts are of hope. You see, he still thinks as he did on earth, where he kept himself alive with hope. When things got bad, he found a way out. If he felt pain, he took medicine. If he was hungry, he ate food. If he lost his love, there was more love to be found. And so he cast about in his mind for a plan to apply to the hope that is building in his chest. Of course, he thinks, Jesus, the Son of God, he can get me out of this. He cries out with a surge, "Jesus, Jesus, you were right. Please save me, Jesus." He waits, breathing hard with desperation. The sound of his voice slips into the darkness and is lost. He tries again. "I believe, Jesus. I believe. Please give me a chance, Jesus. I believe. Save me from this horrible place." Again, the darkness smothers his words. You see, this sinner is not unique. In hell, everyone's a believer. Let me move from the academic to the very practical. Do you know with absolute certainty that when you die, you're not going to end up in this terrible place Jesus, the Son of God, talked about? Are you sure? Do you have absolute assurance that when you awaken, you'll awaken in that real place of the presence of God? One writer said, 5 seconds after you die, you will either be experiencing eternal bliss or you will be catching your first glimpse of unimaginable horror. Either way, your destiny will be irrevocably and eternally unchangeable.
I don't know of a more sobering truth than that. Martin Marty, a theologian, said one time, if Christians really believed in the reality of hell, they wouldn't be busy watching basketball games or even the television preachers. They would be out rescuing people. Well, that's what the ministry of Pathway to Victory is all about. It's about rescuing people, about the terrible hell that awaits anyone who dies without faith in Christ. And that's why we encourage you to invest with us in this rescue ministry we call Pathway to Victory. There are people who listen to this broadcast by accident, and of course it's no accident. They tune into the radio in their car, or they're flipping through the television stations, and they happen upon this program. I can't tell you the number of times people have written to us saying, we pulled our car off to the side, we listened to the end of the broadcast, and we prayed that prayer to trust in Christ as Savior. And every time that happens, you share in that victory because you have invested in the ministry of Pathway to Victory. So thank you for your generous support. Now let me remind you this month of what we're doing. For your gift of $75 or more to the ministry of Pathway to Victory, we'll send you the Prophecy Resource Kit that includes the book Perfect Ending, the 13 CDs, the notes in the loose leaf binder. This is a great tool you will use over and over again. And this is the last week that will be available. So don't let the week pass without ordering your Prophecy Resource Kit. I hope you won't miss tomorrow's broadcast because we're going to talk about heaven. And specifically, I'm going to begin to answer the 10 most frequently asked questions about heaven. That's tomorrow on Pathway to Victory.
Thank you, Dr. Jeffress, and thank you for listening to Pathway to Victory. As you can tell, this series called Perfect Ending is filled with amazing information when it comes to end times prophecy and how everything's going to line up. A lot of people shy away from the whole idea of studying the end times, usually because it's confusing or you might not get a grasp on what's being talked about. Well, Dr. Jeffress has just come out with a brand new book to address this subject. It's called Perfect Ending: Why Your Eternal Future Matters Today. Page after page, you're not going to be able to put this down. So call right now to get Dr. Jeffress's brand new book called Perfect Ending. Call 866-999-2965. You can also go online to get the book at ptv.org. That's 866-999-2965 or online, ptv.org. Also, this month is dedicated to a special program for our listeners on how you can become a partner with Dr. Jeffress in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ to people everywhere through this broadcast. We call these special people Pathway Partners. Now, Pathway Partners commit to a monthly amount of $25, $50, maybe even $100 or more. This allows us to do what we do best, and that's preaching the gospel and not have those concerns of how to pay for the airtime. So call to become a Pathway Partner today. Contact us with your monthly commitment by calling 866-999-2965 or online, ptv.org. 866-999-2965 or ptv.org. Thanks again for joining us today on Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress. Don't forget to call us with your generous gift to get Dr. Jeffress's brand new exciting book on the end times called Perfect Ending. You won't be able to put it down. It's filled with understandable descriptions of these prophecies and timelines as to what and when things will happen. And speaking of timelines, just for getting a hold of us, we'd like to send you the Bible prophecy chart from Dr. Jeffress that links Scripture with key events of end times. Call 866-999-2965 or ptv.org. 866-999-2965 or ptv.org. Be sure to join us tomorrow for Tuesday's program as Dr. Jeffress explains end time prophecy in a way we can all understand. It's the series called Perfect Ending. We'll see you next time right here on Pathway to Victory.